Father, I thank you that you are relentless in your pursuit of us. That there is no shadow that you don't light up. That there is no mountain you don't climb up. That you kick down every wall and that you tear down every lie in pursuit of our hearts. I thank you for your relentless love and faithfulness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Good evening and early Merry Christmas again. Thank you. Appreciate that. Tonight, my message is called The Gospel is in the Details. Gospel is in the details. And I'm going to spend most of my time tonight in one set of scripture, 1 John chapter 4. So if you want to head over there, you can do that. And thank you. I appreciate you as always. When I was coming up in youth group under Mike Peace, who a lot of you know, he would always have us turn to a scripture and he would say, if you're there, say, yo, I'm there. If you're not, say, hold up, hold up.
Hold up.
See, okay, I...
It's not hold up.
Hold up.
Not hold up.
So, I remember a friend of ours who was not from the city being at a youth group one night. And, you know, I say hold up and Ron doesn't do the D thing. But Mike Fee said, if you're there, say, yo, I'm there. And the person went, yo, I am there. No, like, compression. No, just every word sincerely and clearly enunciated. And I remember us all just looking at them and going, okay. This was also one of the people who, when I asked them if they wanted red or purple Kool-Aid, said, well, what kind of red is it? And I said, well, it's red. And they said, well, it's Hawaiian Punch. Or Wild Cherry Blast, or and they like knew all the names. And I was like, it's red Kool-Aid. I don't know. So, you know. So 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. If you're there, say, yo, I'm there. If you're not, say, hold up, hold up. Okay, so we got a couple people still waiting. 1 John chapter 4. And like I said, that's mostly where I'm going to be, so not going to make you get a huge workout flipping around. Or if you use the Bible app on your phone, you know, the thumb workout. So in the ESV, 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 9, says, in this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The gospel is in the details. We frequently get caught up in the broad strokes of the good news of Christ. Jesus came, he was God, and now he's a man, and then he died for our sins, and then he rose again, and now he is in heaven forevermore until he returns for us. You know, the big strokes of it, or the Romans Road message of it, if you guys know that. Also grew up on the Navigators where they draw the cliffs and they have the gap that's the cross over it. There's a lot of ways in which we share the good news and we share the gospel, and even that we share the Christmas story that gives us the outline of everything. But when we zoom in and we look at the pieces, it's the same story, but all of a sudden it just becomes very personal to us. Because it's one thing to say that Jesus came, or for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. Okay? And it's something a little bit different when we zoom in and we say, for God so loved me. Right? It's easy to say, oh, we're all sinners. And it's a little bit harder to say, I'm a sinner. Or to zoom in even more and go, I'm a liar. Right? Or whatever specific sins that you struggle with. We can hide in the broad strokes. You know, there's this beautiful, it's like, my kids do art class and everything, and we homeschool. We were talking about pointillism a bunch of weeks ago, and pointillism is when they make, it's all these little tiny dots, right? And so when you look at it, you just see this picture. It's like this gorgeous landscape, and you're like, oh, that's beautiful, okay. And then you get up on it, and you realize that it's made of thousands and thousands and thousands of these tiny little dots, all just one different color, right? So maybe it's a whole bunch of blues and yellows and different shades of greens, and then you step back and it's just this gorgeous green hill. But when you look at it, it's all these tiny little dots. And that's like the way the gospel is you look at it and you're like, oh, this is this beautiful picture, and you're just like, okay. But if you zoom in, there's these little individual pieces, and all of them matter. And we can try to just be like, oh, you know, try to see it in the big picture and act like it doesn't apply to us. The Christmas story doesn't apply to us the way that it really does. So we're going to tackle this. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us. The first word that jumps out to me here is this. So it's a weird spot to kind of start, but in this. God defines the things that matter. An example of that is, you know, it says in 1 John, it says God is love. And I frequently try to define love in my own mind. So I'm like, okay, this is love. And then I go, so God, that times like, using the songs, 100 billion times, that's God. And God goes, oh no, we don't start with your side and then blow it up to make me. That's not how this works, honey. Like, you don't get to define this and then say, I'll just keep zooming it bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and then that will be love. That's God. God says, no, I make the determination. I am love. And then you can take a slice of that and see how it's revealed in your life. We go from here to here. You don't get to make the definitions. I make the definitions, and you enter into this. And that's what we see right here at the start of the verse. In this, the love of God was made manifest. We don't get to decide how he shows love. We don't get to make that decision. Often in our lives, we want to say, if the Lord loves us, this is how he would show up. If he really loved me, this wouldn't have happened. If he really loved me, this person wouldn't have gotten sick. This person wouldn't have died. I wouldn't have lost my job. I wouldn't have lost my house. And we put God in this box. We say, if you want to prove yourself, this is how you do it. And God says, how about no? How about that's not the way I do things? So in this, the love of God is made manifest among us. John sets it up right here. He's going to say how he reveals himself. He gets to say it, he being God. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us. Manifest, meaning plain, open, clearly visible to the eye or obvious to the understanding. Apparent, not obscure or difficult to be seen or understood. So he's saying, this is the way the love of God shows up. This is the way the love of God is made plain. This is the way the love of God is made clear. This is the way the love of God is made manifest to you. Sometimes that's hard for me to think of because I want to be like, oh, it's so mysterious. No one can ever know. Like, oh, it just blows your mind, right? And God is like, actually, it's real clear. Yes, it's deep. Yes, it's wide. Yes, it's high. Yes, it's long. Yes, there's so much for us to enter into. Yes, there's secrets and glories and mysteries to be revealed. But God says, I made it plain. There is an element of this that I am making really, really clear and evident to you. And James says, if anyone lacks wisdom, ask. And he'll give it to us. So in the same way, he's like, hey, this is supposed to be real clear. So if you can't see it, then maybe you should ask for your eyes to be opened. I wear glasses. I wear really thick glasses. I have contacts in. And there are times when I would have my glasses on and everything would just be a little hard to see, right? And then I'd take it off and they'd be even harder to see. But then I'd use the cleaner that came and I put it on and go, whoa, everything's so clear suddenly. Or sometimes frequently when I was a kid, my mom would be like, Valerie, how are you seeing out of those? Because she could just see the grime. And I go, it's fine. Clear. And I go, oh, that's what you were talking about. I really couldn't see anything. And so it's the same way. God is saying, this is how his love is made manifest. This is how his love is made clear. So if as we're walking through this, you're like, I don't see how that's the love of God being made clear. It doesn't seem really clear to me at all. Then ask God to wipe your glasses, your spiritual glasses. That song, open up the eyes of my heart. That's all what that is. If I can't see it, and God, who is truth, is saying it's clear, then I'm going to go out on a limb and say that the problem is probably with us and not with Creator God, right? Okay, so just so that we're all on the same playing field. If he's saying it's clear and it's not clear to you, ask him, and I'm sure he'd be happy to do a little and clean you up. God sent his only son into the world. So in this, the love of God was made manifest, and among us. So it's not just clear for anyone, it's clear for us specifically. He's talking to us. In this, the love of God was made manifest to you, and to you, and to you, right? To us. That God sent his only son into the world. Sent. To commission, authorize, or direct to go and act. It wasn't just by happenstance that Jesus grew in the womb of Mary and was born one day. It wasn't just, oh, this seems like a fun thing to do. I think I'll go be an embryo now. He was sent. He was commissioned. He was directed to go for a specific purpose in a specific place in a specific time. He was sent. And ESV is his only son. But like New American Standard is that God has sent his only begotten son. Only begotten. I was reading a commentary by David Guzik, and he said, we use the term create to describe something that may come from someone but isn't of the same essential nature or being. A man can create a statue that looks just like him, but it will never be human. However, we use the term beget to describe something that is exactly the same as us in essential nature and being. So the only begotten son, use that word begotten, not because Jesus was born of God the way we think of being born, like the way Fan was born of me, but because they are the same nature. God the Father and God the Son are the same spirit. They are deity, okay? And so we are sons and daughters of God, all of us. But we are not begotten by having the same deity. We're not made out of that same container. We are created. We are echoes of him. We carry the breath of God in us. But we are not the same. Does that make sense? So he sent his only begotten son. So this is this super intentional thing that the Trinity has decided to do together. Super, super, super intentional. I just think what does this even look like? Obviously, this has been the plan. Since sin entered the world, we have that first prophecy in Genesis 3 where he says, your seed will bruise his seed's heel, and he will crush your head. You know, so right there, we've got way back, Garden of Eden, God is talking about the seed. So there's already this plan. Right away, they're like, here's what we're doing. And then you have the prophets for thousands of years speaking in great detail about who is to come. Great detail. So this is intentional. He looks at us, he looks at the world and says, here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. And they're all a part of this. Sends his only begotten son into the world. The communion, I was using that verse, Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And, you know, it's like a poetic thing to do the repetition, you know, to do the echo. Child is born, son is given. So on one hand, you're just like, oh, it's just a lyrical thing. But it's inspired by the Holy Spirit because you have this child is born. So you have them talking about the humanity of Christ. He comes and he is born. He enters the world the way each one of us entered the world. And unto us a son is given. Because Jesus was already, he was already him, right? He wasn't a man until he was born, but he was already him. He was already a God. So he wasn't born, so he had to be given, right? He picked up something and he closed off a part of himself in order to walk on the earth. But it wasn't like he sprung up, God the Father is up there going, okay, so I need someone to do this. So, okay, I'm just gonna make another me, and then we're gonna go. No, he's already there from eternity past, right? Because before there was time, there was God. He was before anything, and that's weird for me. Like, let's just be honest, that there was something before there was time, but it wasn't time. But there was something. So before the clock started, there was them. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, in perfect unity. Three in one. And out of that love, all of this. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are formed. 100 billion creatures draw their breath. That song we were singing. So the Son is already, he's already there. And then he says, I'll do this. I'll restrain myself. I'll make myself small. And I'll pick up this humanity. And I will do that little egg thing. And I will grow. And I'll come out helpless. And I'll grow from there. I'll start where they all start. Okay, so unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And once again, we can't hide in that us. It's unto me. Unto Valerie a child is born. Unto Valerie a son is given. Right? He did it for me. He did it for you. And I'm not saying collective you. I'm saying you, right? So that we might live through him. Once again, there's a purpose. And it's a big purpose, but it's a small one. Because he didn't just come just for kicks. Right? He didn't just show up just to show up. She's like, well, let me just make sure everything's working properly. Let me just make sure that this whole, like, conception, pregnancy, birth, growing into adulthood thing. Let me just make sure there's no kinks in this process. Quality assurance. I'm going to go through the whole process. No. He does it so that we might live. Because to that point, we were dead men walking. Right? We had a semblance of life, but no true life. We were dead men walking. And so he sent his son so that we might live. And that's another one of those ones where we like to just try to say it our way. Oh, so that we might live. Life is what I make it. But no, life comes through him. And it's right there in the scripture. So that we might live through him. He's going to make a way for us. Not everyone is going to get it, but that's not going to be his fault. There's going to be a door that is open for everyone. There's going to be a path that is open for everyone. Ron and I, we have done and we still do a lot of Bible studies. And one of the things that happens often is someone will have an elaborate situation. Well, what if this happens, and then this happens, and then this happens, and then this happens, and then they get hit by a car? Are they going to hell? And it'll be so detailed and so convoluted, you're like, what? Is this a true story, or are you just making this up? Oh, you're just, okay, this is a hypothetical. This is a stretch of a hypothetical, but it's a hypothetical. And I think we started off trying to unravel all the spiritual implications of what they were saying. And then finally, we just started going, okay, let's cut to the heart. You don't go to hell on a technicality. Like, there's not a technicality. It's not like when a claim gets denied and you appeal and people are like, oh, yeah, okay, I see. Yep. Yeah, you know what? You were entitled to that benefit. It's not... You don't go to hell on a technicality. If you're there, it's because you're supposed to be there, right? And so that's where we would cut it. That's how we would cut through. We'd say, God is love. He desires for every man to be saved. So therefore, you made a choice. You made a choice. Me from the outside might not know what choice you made, you know? I might not know what choice. I might not realize that you made a choice in there. I might want to be like, well, God's unloving. That shouldn't have happened that way. Blah, 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 blah. But I'm not the one inside. But what I can know and can stand on is that a choice was made. And that whatever happens to you in eternity, it's God honoring that choice. Okay? So, though Jesus made a way, life doesn't just happen. Eternal life doesn't just happen. It's a gift, but you had to choose to accept it and open it and do something with it, right? Eternal life comes through him. And then I love this. And this is love. So once again, this specific thing. And this specific thing is love. And I really like this next part. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us. In my notes, I have underlined, not that we, but that he. I like to think that I'm a lot better person than I am. Amen. Right? I like to judge myself by what I intended to do and not by what actually happened, by what I meant to say and not the words that actually came out of my mouth or the tone that they were said in. I like to think that people should have realized that even though I copped an attitude that I really didn't mean it. And so why did their feelings get hurt? Because obviously I didn't mean that, right? I like to think of myself as a better person than I actually am. And it sounds like a bunch of you realize that too. And so it's not my actions that showed that I loved God so much that he decided to do this thing for me, right? I wasn't like, in a minute we're going to talk about propitiation, but it's about appeasing the wrath from an offended person, right? And so if there's two parties and one person screwed up and now the relationship is broken, the order of things is that the person who screwed up is supposed to be the one who fixes things, right? Like if... Let's make it big, countries. If country B offended country A and started a war, then country B needs to fix whatever they did. If they mortally offended someone, and now there's enmity between their countries, country B needs to be like, hey, you know what, we're sorry. How can we make this right? I'm going to send my representative over there. You're going to tell me what I need to do, and I'm going to fix it, because this is not a sustainable series of events. However, for us, we're over here really, really screwing up the relationship. Like, it's easy to be like, oh, it's all Adam and Eve, and because of them, I'm the person I am. Like, no. I made choices, right? We talk about that age of accountability and stuff, and I distinctly remember that there was a point when I knew I was doing wrong, and I was doing it anyway. Okay, so I don't get to lay it all at the feet of some 4444 father. I made choices to continue. I made choices to continue in enmity to God. And so here we are, having offended God Almighty, living under the penalty of his wrath, and we're just like skipping through the daisies, like, you know, it reminds me of my kids. Sometimes they're acting up. I'm sure some of you may have seen something like this just play out in church occasionally, where they're doing something and I'm staring. You know, and I'm, the eyes. And I'm going, don't they feel this? Like, burrowing into their brain? Like, I know they're not looking at me, but I mean, I know all of you parents in the room have done this laser focus. And if you're a kid in the room, you've probably been on the other end of the laser focus. Right? I've got people going, never, no, never. Right? But I'm like, and I can feel like the Superman heat vision coming, and I'm just, and they're just continuing, maybe getting louder and louder, or continuing to throw whatever's being thrown, and I'm just like, how do they not feel this? Like, I can feel the heat. How do they not feel this? And this is how I imagine this playing out between us and God. You know, I'm just over here lying to get myself out of trouble, taking stuff that doesn't belong to me, being proud, manipulating things to my own ends. And God is like, and I'm just going on and on and on, right? And so anybody looking at this from the outside would be like, that Valerie better get her act together. Does she see him staring at her like that? She better turn around and figure out what she needs to do to figure that out. She better go to him. She better figure it out, right? But we didn't do that. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us. He looked at us and went, they don't get it. They're not gonna get it. And because I love them and want them with me, I am not going to leave them like that. Right? We and everything that was created is an overflow and an expression of the love that exists in the Trinity. They loved each other. They are complete and perfect in love, so complete and perfect in love that they are one. And out of that love, they didn't just continue in timeless eternity together, they went, let's make some more things to love. And some stuff that's going to love us back. And out of that, they made the galaxies, they made Earth, and they made us. And when we, as a communal people, screwed that up, they weren't just like, well, we're still perfect in love. We'll just keep going, maybe just fence off whatever chaos they're going to do and just make sure it doesn't touch anybody else. We're just going to close the door to their room and just let them self-destruct and implode, and we will just continue in love. They went, we love them. We love them. We're going to get them back. We love them. Okay? So, not that we have loved God. Not that I did anything to deserve it. And in fact, rejected it a bunch of times. Not that I have loved God. Not that you have loved God. But that he loved us. He loves us, so he does this whole thing. This blows my mind more than just a little bit. He makes us, he forms us, he gives us free will so that we can try to choose and love him back. We screw it up. He makes a whole plan. He implements the whole plan with no participation on our side, really. You know, he does the whole thing. He doesn't send someone else, he sends himself. He comes, goes through the whole indignity of needing like his bottom wiped and needing to be fed. Creator of the universe. Swaddled up and getting white, you know? He comes to fruition. He fights all the battles against temptation, against sin, against all these things. He sections off a portion of himself so that he does not access his deity and his God power to show that we can do this life too. He constrains himself to be fully human the entire time. He doesn't tap into anything that we can't tap into. He gets tempted by every temptation known to man. He knows sorrow. All the stuff happens. He does it. He does it. He does it. And then he gets up on the cross, right? And he gives up his life. Right? Like, they inflict suffering on him. Yes, he chooses to stay. Because right in the beginning, when he goes into the wilderness, Satan's like, why don't you turn these stones into bread? Why don't you jump off this thing right here? You know the angels are going to show up. Do this, do this, do this. And Jesus never goes, yeah, that's not how it works. He doesn't deny. Satan tells him, jump off this thing and 1,000 angels will come and lift you up so that you don't bruise your toe. He doesn't go, no, that's not how it works. He responds. He doesn't get tempted by it. It was true. He could have done it. Okay? So at any point in this, he could have been like, and we're done. I made all y'all, and all y'all gonna stop right now. You know, I can't even remember what comedian or person it is now who was, I think it was probably Bill Cosby or something, who was like, I made you, I brought you into this world, and I could take you out of this world. And so it's like at any point, Jesus could have been like, I put you in, and I can take you out. We're stopping. This game is not fun anymore. It's over. Could have healed himself. He was healing everybody else. There was no reason he had to bleed. Right? In The Passion, the guy who played Jesus, Jim Caviezel, I think his name is, he was talking about at the flogging scene, you know, they had like a shield over him so that he could, and they could show the person whipping and they could have the sound and everything, but so that he didn't get touched. And he was explaining on a talk show I was watching that at one point, like, I don't know if the shield shifted or a little bit, but the cat of nine tails, one of the tails whipped around and caught him. And he was like, you know, and he screamed and he has a scar from one of them hitting him once was still mostly a shield in the way. He didn't have to do that. Right? He didn't have to do that. And even if he did do it, he could have been like, you know, touched by an angel, boom. And then all of a sudden it's just healed. All the skin is replaced and we're just levitating our way out, right? He chose to go through the suffering. Even though there was ones inflicting it on him, he chose. He knew what Judas was going to do. And he said, go and do. Go and do what you're going to do, right? He chose to stay under the suffering. He chose to carry the cross. And he chose to let them nail him up on there. I can't even fathom knowing I could get out of a situation and letting someone put a nail through it. Like, we saw The Passion of the Christ once. Well, I saw it once. I think Ron watched it one more time. We went and we saw it once, and I watched a good portion of the movie like this, you know, where I could kind of see it through one eye. But I could only cover my hand with one hand because Ron and I were holding hands with the other hand. And at one point, I was like, babe, because his hand, like, he was just sitting there watching it, but his hand just steadily kept getting tighter and tighter and tighter on my hand. And Ron is strong. And so I'm like, he's gripping. And for a little while, I'm gripping with him. And then he went past, like, my grip point. And so I started opening up my hands. You know, when someone's holding your hand and you're like, done. And so I'm like, and he's, and it's just getting tighter and tighter. I'm like, babe, like, let go. You're squeezing me. He's like, oh, sorry. Yeah. And so just watching it, and it wasn't even as bad as it really was. Just watching this semblance of it, I'm like, and even just talking about it, I get the squirming down my spine. So the idea of choosing to let someone hold me down, knowing that at any moment I could stop this, choosing to let them pierce me, choosing to let them mock me and spit on me. Like, I'm not getting spit on if there's a choice. Like, let's just be real. I'm not, you are not hawking a loogie on me if I know it's coming. And if it happens, it's not happening a second time if I have anything to say about it. Right? So he's choosing. Oh, Ron is posturing over here. Please ignore. So he is choosing to let all these happen, things happen. And then he gets up on the cross. They offer him, you know, they offer him pain reliever, such as it is. You know, he's got the stuff mixed in with the wine. It would have dulled a bit, right? He doesn't take it, right? As soon as he realizes that it's something that would let him suffer less, Jesus says no. He's up on the cross in agony. He's handling his business. He's like, mother, this is your son. Son, this is your mother. It's this exchange so that he's ensuring that his mother, who's a widow at this time, he's the firstborn son, is taken care of. So he's up here in agony, making sure his mom is cared for, right? And then at the opportune moment, he breathes his last and gives up his life. This whole thing is done without us. He makes a plan. He executes the plan. He completes the plan. Pretty much the only thing that we really had was we took him off the cross and buried him, right? You know, we got he couldn't handle that for himself, so we got that taken care of. But then he raises up from the dead on his own to find that everyone has abandoned him and no one actually believes that he's coming back, right? Despite him having said it multiple times. He does this whole thing. He does it. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us. And he did this with each one of our faces in front of him. It's in the details. He knew what he was saying yes to. He knew what he was saying yes to. It's not like he got blindsided out of nowhere and was like, oh, wait, you meant die? Ooh. I didn't realize that's what you meant. He knew. He knew. Yes, it was hard. And in the garden, he says, okay, if there's any other way for this to happen, let this pass for me. But if it can't, my will is your will. That's his moment of wavering, right? And it's not even a real, like a waver like I waver, you know? It was a, just checking, there's no other way for this to happen, right? Okay, all right. That's what I thought, we're doing, okay? He resolves, he loved us, so he did this. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. So once again, his begotten son, the one who is the very nature of him, the one who has, they have existed together outside of time. They are perfect in love. Okay. Ron and I have been married for 14 years now, right? 14 years, you know, and the two shall become one. So we have this like low key echo of the Trinity going low key, right? Like trembling shadow of what the Godhead has going, right? I cannot imagine willingly sending my husband to go off and fix something that he had no part in. Right? We have friends in Kansas City, and their son was burned. Burned very, very badly as a teen, right? And he was in agony. Just he had to do the skin sloughing and all that kind of, had to have skin grafts and all this kind of stuff, and just sobbing, 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 sobbing anytime the pain reliever wore off. And he was like, God, if there's any way I could take this from him, I would. I would take this from him, right? And then it's Easter, and he goes, but I wouldn't take this for some random kid. You know, I wouldn't take this for some, I would take this for my son, yes. But I wouldn't take it for somebody else. And I wouldn't let my son go through this for someone else. And just realizing that side of it. You sent your son, the one you love, the one you have loved before the world began, to be the propitiation for our sins. And so I of course looked up the word propitiation, because that's what I do. I look up words. And it's the act of appeasing wrath and conciliating the favor of an offended person. In theology, the atonement or atoning sacrifice offered to God to assuage his wrath and render him propitious to sinners. So, propitiation for our sins, the whole sheep sacrifice thing they're doing, right? We're going to take this. You're going to pour your wrath on this thing. We're going to be sheltered. And so now God is going, okay, we're going to go from temporary sacrifices, things that have to be constantly renewed, to something that will be permanent. So it needs to be more intense. But unlike Old Testament, where he says, this is what I will accept. I will accept sheep. I will accept bulls. They need to be like this. If you're really poor, I'll accept a couple doves. You know, where he says, this is what it is. And I go, okay. And I go to my herd and I get the thing and I bring it to him and I say, Lord, forgive me. He goes, okay, this is what I'm going to need. We're going to handle it. They can't do this price. And he does it. So he sends his son, the one he loves and loved before time, and he pours out his wrath on him for us, and we don't make it happen. He is the offended one. He decides how to make it right, because that's how that works. If I'm the one who's offended, if I'm the one who you hurt me, then I have to figure out, then I tell you how we fix this, right? If you come in my house and you just like start smashing through my walls, then you don't get to be like, okay, so I'm going to babysit your kid for 3 hours and then we'll be good, right? Like, you don't get to dictate how this gets fixed between us. You screwed it up. I'm the one you offended. And so I'm the one who gets to say, actually, I'm going to need you to pay for all this to get fixed. And then we can talk about what it would take for me to trust you in my house again. But this is the bare minimum. Like, I am the one who gets to set the terms. And the other person is supposed to meet them. But here we have God setting the terms and meeting them to make the bridge for us. Amen. He set the terms and he met them. It's like, you came in my house, you smashed up on my walls, and I said, man, there is a big wedge between us now because of your actions. All this needs to get cleaned up. All this needs to get fixed. And that's what needs to happen to make a way for us to do this. And then I clean up the mess, and I fix the walls, and I pay for everything to get repaired. And I go, okay, so now that those terms have been met, now we can go forward in relationship. And you're like, but I'm the one who made the mess. I know. But I fixed it. We're good now. That's what God did. We're like, we made the mess, and while we're still like rolling around in it like a pig in mud, he's like, okay, let me rearrange and let me fix all this. So I'm going to read this verse again. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God, I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you that you so loved us that you made the choice to reconcile us with you, that you set the terms and you completed them. You met them so that we would have a way to have a relationship with you, so that no matter who we are or what we've done, that we had a way to return to your heart. And it's because of your love. Not because of our love, not because we're secretly so awesome, but because you are good. Because you are good and because you are love, you chose to do this. And it all started with this season that we're celebrating right now. It started with you choosing to come to earth. Choosing to come as a baby. Choosing to take on humanity when you didn't have to. So God, open our eyes. Make your love plain and clear to us. Pour it out over us and on us. Help us step into a deeper dimension of it, God. I thank you for your love. I thank you for the choice and the sacrifice you made. And I thank you that you accept those who come to you in sincerity and willingness. Thank you, God. Reveal yourself to us more. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you. Amen.